Rising up from the cornfields of the Midwest, a new voice is being heard. We are taxed like no others. From a state synonymous with corruption, producing convicted felons from our governors at unprecedented rates.
As the former Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich,
prison tonight. George Ryan begins a 6.5-year prison.
Coming to you from Peoria, Illinois, this is the Liberty Plays podcast. Hosted by everyone's favorite downstate Illinois Libertarian chapter, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Featuring news, commentary, and interviews with local, state, and national libertarians working to make a difference for everyone. Welcome to the show.
The Liberty Place podcast contains opinions and commentary from the hosts and guests that may educate, illuminate, or offend. You may or may not like what they say. The editorial views of this podcast do not represent the official position of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and should not be quoted or rebroadcast as such.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Liberty Plays podcast. Once again, you're joining us for our editorial podcast from the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. My name is Eric Stahl. I'll be your host tonight. And around the table, immediately to my left is...
Jacob Irish. I'm the vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
I'm Donnie Henry. I am the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
I'm Jason Spires. I'm currently a transplant Illinois Libertarian in California, temporarily.
Jason is mailing it in on the phone. This is awesome. This is the miracle of technology. We got Jason with us tonight. All right, so what I want to do, last time we kind of talked about who we were, as far as where we were in the libertarian movement. But then I thought, tonight, why don't we just rate ourselves on a 1 being a complete noob and a 10 being Ron Paul? You know, where do you fall on a 1 to 10 scale? And I'll start right here and just say I'm about a 4, 4.5, possibly knowledge and practicing and all that stuff. That's my personal feeling. Jake's nodding in agreement.
Well, when you threw out the 10 being the Ron Paul, I am far from a Ron Paul type knowledge of any of that. I would give myself a solid 4.5 as well.
Well, then I got to go 3. I mean, at that point, then I got to back off.
You guys underestimate yourselves. I think you know more. But I think it was unfair when you put Ron Paul.
Yeah, that one.
Well, that's a 10.
That is a 10.
Yeah, that
that's
is a 10.
Like a 12 out of 10, right?
Move that mic just a little. Okay, all right. I got to yell. If I yell at Donnie all night in the microphone, that's just part of the normal podcast event that goes on.
I don't talk loud enough.
No, you don't.
I would give myself, I'm going to be nice. I'm like an 8, right? I live and breathe libertarianism. I think it's a beautiful philosophy, and I'll never be Ron Paul, nor do I want to be. You know, I mean, he's just like he's my idol. I have a picture of him up in my house.
Oh yeah.
So Donnie, where would you rate Eric and I then?
I don't think you guys are that far off. I think you're a 6, 7. I mean, are just as much as me, I think, Jake. I don't think that you're that far off from me.
Maybe a 7, then.
I think you just have a family, so you don't get to think about it all the time.
True, good point.
What about you, Jason?
When I think of myself, it's hard to put a number to it, because I was following Ron Paul in 2007, and one was a complete noob, so I've identified as a libertarian for 11 years. But that being said, at the same time, I differ with a lot of libertarians. Like, I'm not against having school vouchers. I don't see that as necessarily a horrible thing. So I would put myself at maybe a 7 or an 8, but dedication-wise, I'd put myself at a 10.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I think that's the big dilemma, right, is how far of a libertarian are you? Are you an anarcho-capitalist? Do you think that there should be some government programs? I think that's the better question. I heard that bureaucrat.
Way to go, Jay.
Hey, I tried to hide it, but well.
Lubricates the the editorial content.
That's why it's going to get better as it goes on.
Yeah, exactly. The longer it goes.
Here's where I differ with a lot of the extreme, like, anarchy libertarians, is I look at minors, and I'm okay with minors receiving some kind of social contract goods. And what I mean by that is like an education system. Now, we can go through the nuances of how it's provided for, but I'm 100% libertarian once you're an adult. But I have no problem with, you know, social programs for minors, because I believe that in exchange for them not having full access to their freedom, they get some kind of help from adult society.
Well, and I think Thomas Jefferson talked about that in some of his writings, about that to maintain a free society, to maintain this blessing of liberty that we have to have an educated population.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's where I was falling that too. And people are like, oh, we shouldn't pay for the roads, shouldn't pay for the schools. I'm like, wait a second, if you don't pay for the schools, you don't know what's coming up behind you. So it's all good for you, but you're not leading the next generation properly.
Maybe we shouldn't spend as much on schools.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Here's my problems when it comes to the public school is my mother was a meth addict and my dad was a crackhead.
Yeah.
Trusting them to pay for my education as an 8-year-old child would not have been a smart move because we trusted them to help me form other decisions in life and I landed up in prison. So that's why I'm strongly in favor of having some kind of assistance for education. Doesn't necessarily have to be the public education that we have now.
Yeah, I mean, we could go down a huge rabbit hole here.
And we are. But we started.
I think we already started. We're almost down there. But I do think that where we say that we're for this, I do think all of us would be in agreement that how we do that needs to be changed, you know? And maybe we don't do it, and maybe there should be more incentives, and there should be ways to do it in a more free way that isn't done through taxation, you know?
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's get back on track.
Okay.
And what I wanted to do is, before we got into any of the content of this, I did want to talk about our upcoming meeting with the Greater Peoria Group and meeting at W.E. Sullivan's next Thursday night. What day is that?
This Thursday. It's the 10th of January.
10th of January.
7 p.m.
And I don't know anything about the Liberty Talk. I don't know anything else about guests coming. But I do know that you acquired Ryan Spain.
Man, it was. I got to hand it out
awesome.
To Chad Grimm, one of our members. He's, you know, he ran for governor. He got me in contact with Ryan Spain. I met him in a couple of functions, and finally just worked out. Ryan's been kind of elusive because he's such a busy guy, but we've got him. It's our first meeting of the year, man. We're coming out of the gates just
That's
sprinting,
popping.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got. I'm going to do the Liberty Talk. I think we're going to talk about the budget, the federal budget. That's kind of in my wheelhouse, and we'll talk about that because of the shutdown, too.
Yeah, it should be interesting as a federal employee to find how you fall in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All
you
right.
Might be surprised.
Yeah. All right, so let's get back. We got Jason here, and, dude, you posted a picture with Mike Madigan. I assume that's from O'Hare Airport this week. What was the story there?
What happened was is I flew out of Peoria to Chicago on my way back coming to Stanford, and I get off the plane, I check into my flight for the O'Hare flight, and I look across the way towards the bookstore, and I see this guy, an older gentleman, walking with a lady, and he goes into the bookstore. I'm like, that's Mike Madigan.
Only you, Jason.
Only Jason.
Only Jason.
And you're not supposed to leave your bags unattended, but I threw my jacket and my sweater down and took my bag with me. And because I only had like a limited amount of time, and I walk into the bookstore, and there he is. He's looking at the current edition of the Chicago Tribune, and he's showing someone else the paper, and then they walk away, so he's by himself. And I'm nervous. I'm like, do I just walk up to this guy and go, Mr. Madigan? So I was like, how do I play it? And I got up closer, and I looked at his luggage. And on his luggage, you got your name tag hanging down. He had his Illinois State card on his luggage. So I knew it was him.
Of course.
So I said, pardon me, Mr. Madigan? He turns around and says, yes. I said, hi, I'm a huge fan of Illinois politics. My name is Jason Spires. Does that ring a bell? He said, no. I was like, oh, and then I just started talking to him. Like, I didn't go in and bash him over his head. I didn't say, oh, you're horrible.
That's good.
Some people wanted you to.
You know, I just simply started talking to him, and I had my Stanford transfer shirt on. He said, do you go to Stanford? I said, yeah, actually. And I just started talking to him, and I told him how I got $268,000 in fines for cannabis. And he kind of looked at me. He didn't say I was a liar, but I could tell he was kind of baffled. He was like, what? And I was like, yeah, do you know who the Illinois Policy Institute is? They're doing a story on me in 2 or 3 days.
Oh, he knows them.
And he said, huh, okay. And I said, if it's not inappropriate, and I totally understand if you're busy, do you care if I take a photo with you? He's like, oh, no, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. And I pull up my phone. He got in the camera with me, and I took the photo. And then I thanked him for his time. Probably spent 4 4 or 5 minutes with him, and I wished him well on his flight, and he said, I hope you have a good flight back as well, and I got on my flight.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's. I mean, it. The crazy part about it is that that guy could ruin anyone's life. Right? He has the power to do it.
I mean, he has. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you this. He's a good politician because he was very polite. He seemed genuine with me. I'm not, you know, trying to just speak positive of him. I met many people that are horrible at doing their jobs, but they're very nice. And Arvind Vora was very friendly when I met him in person, too. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is I was shocked by he's not intimidating.
Yeah.
He's very easily approachable, and he didn't seem like he even minded it.
Well, don't you think he would be, like, afraid everywhere he went? I mean, you would think that he would.
Oh, yeah, when somebody said, hey, Mike Madigan, I'd be, like, cowering. I'd be like, oh, God.
I'd be ready to get punched in the face if I was him, right? I mean, at all times.
At least I'm in an airport. Nobody has a weapon, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, or do they?
Now, hey, Jason, for people who don't know, can you give us the elevator elevator speech right now just to let people know what's going on with you, what happened?
Oh, if I was to say it's an elevator speech, it's kind of hard to because I adapt what I say to the situations that I'm in, you know, based on the time that I have. If I have 2 minutes versus 4 minutes versus how the conversation's going.
Well,
you have 1 minute.
I would say this is a podcast.
Would be like, hey, I'm Jason Spires. If that name hasn't rang a bell, I was arrested as a very young man and given a 30-year sentence for nonviolent cannabis offenses. And after serving 15 years incarcerated, I got out with over $250,000 in fines. And I wake up every day trying to overcome any obstacle I can to show people that it's possible to always move past your past. And I was fortunate enough to recently be accepted into Stanford University, and now the president of the Illinois Police Chiefs Association and the elected sheriff of Peoria County have openly endorsed me, hopefully receiving a pardon.
Amazing.
So that would be awesome. my quick elevator speech.
It's the best elevator speech I've ever heard.
Great pitch, man.
Yeah.
That elevator pitch. That's what it is. Elevator pitch. Anyway, all right. We're not advertising people. I don't know the lingo. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, again, we're happy to have you on board here, Jason. So we're looking forward to talking some topics and hearing your feedback on it too. And you're coming to us from California right now, right?
Yeah, I'm currently in Stanford, California. That's the name of the actual city.
All right. So this podcast is recorded. We're going to call it the Liberty Bunker. Is what we're going to call it.
Oh, it's a bunker.
I like it. I like it.
Coming from Tazewell County, Illinois. Nobody knows the exact location except for the podcasters. All right. So, Donna, you brought this up. We're going to get right into the actual show now. We're starting to talk about presidential candidates.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
And so he talked about Arvind Vora. And so that's one of the names that's on there, too. And I guess, I mean, it's 2019. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we only got another year or so. We're going to be dealing with this, right?
Yeah, and I mean, and we're not the only ones. The Democrats, I saw Elizabeth Warren just announced that she's creating an exploratory.
That's going to be hilarious.
Oh, hilarious. I mean, if that's what they've got, just chalk it up. I mean, but then if that's all they got, then how are we going to fuck it up this time, right?
Right.
Explicit, sorry. But no, we've got Arvind Vora and Adam Kokesh. We've got a gal named Kim Ruff. And actually our LNC regional rep, John Phillips, is her vice presidential candidate.
Really?
Cool.
Nominee. So we've got a lot of them, and then everybody's talking about Bill Weld as well.
Now, is everybody talking about him, or is that just us?
Well, it's just us, all 500 of us on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
So I think that it sets up the stage of where we've got these hardcore people that want to have these purist libertarians versus the pragmatists where – we want to have someone that can actually run a nationwide campaign, you know. So
you're excited about Bill Weld?
I mean, I'm not excited about Bill Weld. Bill Weld is a wet noodle to me. But, I mean, what would excite me is Rand Paul, right?
Yeah.
What would excite me is if, Justin Amash, from the congressman from Michigan, would come in. But Bill Weld is a guy that can run an actual campaign, a national campaign, probably won't embarrass us, probably will do a good job, may get us to 5% in Illinois. I mean, is that –
No, I mean, that's legit. What about Arvind Vora?
He's extreme.
Yeah?
I mean, Jason met him. What do you think about Arvind Vora?
I think Arvind Vora is an articulate and effective advocate for the worst positions inside of the Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
That's a strong statement.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, Jason, is when we met him in where were we? New Orleans? at the convention. New Orleans, yeah. The thing was, is he knew what he was doing. He's a very smart guy. Go ahead.
I walked directly up to him and said, is this all a ploy? Are you being controversial as a ploy? And I got to give him respect. He said, exactly. He said, I'm making waves this way. And one of the things he said in his recent videos is, I'm running for president to make your life difficult.
Yeah.
I want you to have to explain our positions. And one of the things he told me in New Orleans that I actually respected him for is, like he said, my stance is on a lot of the military. I'm not saying that you have to have that position, but I want you to clearly articulate what the libertarian position is.
Yeah.
And he said, I feel like we're selling the Bible to people without telling them about Christ.
Yeah.
We're hiding what we really believe a lot of times.
I think the perfect example is the cocaine thing, right? People say you want to legalize cocaine or heroin,
no.
And it's not popular, right?
No.
But it's a lie for us to say that we don't believe that.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. I think it's that taboo subject that we all believe in, but yet when it's public, I don't know what to say.
Well, but Arvin Bora brings out the best in that, right? Because Arvin Bora says, get to the root of it. Say that it's a freedom issue. The same rights that you have to pray where you want to send your kids to school where you want to, is the same freedom that allows you to make choices in your life.
Basically,
and we have to articulate that.
Let someone fuck up their own life.
Yeah.
Well, let me throw this out there. What brought me to libertarianism was watching a Republican debate where Ron Paul stood on a Republican debate stage and did not back away from saying heroin should be legal.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this, I'm giving myself a pat on the back here. When I went on the Bruce Dumont show, I did not back away from saying that it's idiotic that we're sending people to prison for cocaine. And I made it clear that I would rather find out my kid did cocaine than got caught with cocaine. So I have no problem being open with positions.
Yeah.
But the thing is when you're trying to get on a presidential debate stage, I'm more worried about other issues than jamming heroin down people's throats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a lot of times they turn off, right? I mean, and Eric, you came from that perspective. Didn't you come from the right?
No, I was kind of always in the middle. I think that the drug thing is tough, though, because, you know, actually, we didn't talk about this. My son walked up to me 2 weeks ago and said, Dad, you're a libertarian, right? I said, yeah. Maybe I said this in the last podcast. I don't know.
But he goes,
does that just mean that you believe that weed should be legal? And I'm like, really? Really? Is this where we're at? We're still struggling with this. This is ultimately 98% of the population believes the Libertarian Party is only about dope.
Yeah.
You know, friends of mine have walked up and said, oh, it's like Republicans who believe in smoking dope.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, no. But this is the cross we bear on this stuff. I mean, cocaine and heroin, that's going to be the stuff that when you get in a debate, and if you get a three-way debate or a four-way debate, you're going to have to defend that position. You better be articulate, and you better say, this is minutia. This is a tiny fraction of what we believe. But yeah, we do believe in personal freedom.
And here's why.
The personal freedom piece.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm about to out us, Jason, me and you. The thing is I voted for Arvin Bora for vice chair of the National Committee. And the reason that I did is because
You don't have to declare this, Don.
No, I'm declaring it. I am, because I want us to have that burr under our saddle. I want someone in the front, in the party, that is not going to allow people to say, no, we think cocaine should be illegal. You know, I don't want someone to lie about our message.
Yeah.
Be honest, but have someone articulate enough to explain why. Because when we explain why, they may not agree still, but they'll understand.
Yeah.
They don't think we're just a pot party and we're also getting high.
And we won't be releasing everybody onto the streets and it won't be just mass chaos and, you know, dispensaries of needles everywhere.
Sorry, Jason. I know. We did that together in secret, but it felt good.
Let me say this. I have no problem with Arvin Bora in the party because I like his voice and I like him being the beacon to remind us what the tenets are. But that being said, I happily have my arms open to people who don't hold all those tenets.
Yeah.
I just want us to have a purity voice so we can know how far we're negotiating away.
Yeah,
no, I think that's great. I mean, you know, in the Republican Party, the only way they do this is they have like a extreme right winger,
mm-hmm.
you know, a Bible thumping conservative, you know. So what they do is they like yank them clear over to the right, you know, and they try and pull all the moderates. But and this is different in that case because it's almost dealing with racist and hate speech, you know, when you deal with Republicans in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as libertarians goes, the tenets, like you were saying, Jason, let's just have somebody who at least let's talk what the party is before we get too deep into the popularity contest, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, let me put this disclaimer out there. I don't agree with many of the things that Arvin Voris says. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying if we're going to be the party of freedom, it's not bad to have another voice voicing the views that many people won't say.
Well, and that's Jason. That's the thing is, you and I both voted for Nick Sarwark for chair, who is an open arm kind of guy, and we voted for the opposite for the vice chair. It's that yin and yang sort of thing. So
it's a balancing factor.
Yeah, absolutely, but not for president. So back on the point. The point is that Arvin Vore is not palatable to the national.
He'll never make it.
But. And here we are again with the perfect scenario. If it's Elizabeth Warren versus Donald Trump, it's almost is salivating
versus Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney make it in there and start dividing up that vote too.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So we've got to do this right.
I have an interesting question about presidential politics for you guys.
Shoot. Okay.
If Rand Paul got the nomination in 2020 for the Republican Party, how enthusiastic are we going to be for the Libertarian presidential candidate? And with that thought in mind, has Donald Trump achieved more Libertarian things recently than any president within our lifetime?
I don't want to answer these questions. Let's move on.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm bold enough. I'm just going to say it, and I think you guys are going to follow suit. I know you guys will. But if Rand Paul somehow becomes the presidential nominee for the Republican Party, I would go to Austin advocating that we don't run a presidential candidate. I think that we should – if that is – he is a liberty-minded guy that could bring libertarian principles to government.
And it would be a show of force to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, pool the resources.
Liberty before party.
Yeah, always. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, good question, Jason.
That is a great question. You want to host the show? Hey, how about Adam Kokesh? Any opinions on this guy?
I have no idea who he is.
He's an activist, does a lot of shit to get himself arrested.
Okay.
You know, so kind of that guy, TSA. I think he just got out of jail last
week. YouTube
videos? YouTube videos, yeah.
Always got a GoPro.
When I think of Adam Kokesh, I think of the guy who harassed Bill Weld constantly for trying to go to our conventions and be inside the party. Mm-hmm. And then I watched a video with him almost in tears crying when Bill Weld went to endorse him.
Wow. That's crazy.
So
I will say this about Adam Kokesh, that when I first started really getting into libertarianism, you know, you start YouTubing it. And I will say that some of his videos were inspiring because it was right around that. Now these things don't even faze me. If someone's messing with TSA or the cops, that doesn't even faze me. It's like, yeah, you should.
Yeah,
but back then it was very, you know, it was new. And so seeing him mess with TSA and recording them was inspiring to me. So I do have to give him that credit, you know, but not presidential.
I threw in there Larry Sharpe because I have to think Larry Sharpe is a potential candidate, right?
You would think? I mean,
Jake is like – crinching his nose and just kind of like, eh.
Well, I don't think he had the best showing in New York. And granted, it's a more blue state than Illinois is. But what makes him on a national platform any different than anyone else
I think he's got the charisma and he can sell it. Yeah. You know, we know he can sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was he in an unfortunate election like Cash was, you know, where it was basically an indictment of Trump?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that what Sharpe was dealing with? Would he be better off in the next campaign as a national candidate? I think the guy's got charisma, and I think he holds true to a lot of the tenets, too. So
I contend that if Larry Sharpe was the Illinois gubernatorial candidate, we're sitting at 5%. We might have even been in the running because – He brings us a level of credibility. He ran a professional campaign with money. I just think New York is too far gone, you know. So I don't hold that against him really, but he has to come there with the money. And how does he raise that much money to run a national campaign?
Hey Donnie, Illinois is pretty far gone too.
It's true. But I think that if you talk about New York, I think we're on a whole nother level.
Okay.
I mean, I'm being serious.
That's right. Donnie on that. Yeah. I think. When we think of Chicago, it's always like, ooh, thanks a lot, Chicago. But, I mean, New York is a completely other beast with that whole demographic.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe we don't know where to
imagine being an upstate New Yorker. It probably feel a lot like right. Southern Illinois, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Kim Ruff. I don't know anything about Kim Ruff.
Don't know anything about her. I almost feel like it's John Phillips is a really good guy. So I think they're just trying to shake things up. I don't think it's a – I think she has no aspirations of it really being a
– Now, is this the John Phillips down in Decatur?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. I didn't know he was in a vice presidential candidate.
How exciting would it be if
that would be awesome.
Yeah, how exciting would it be if he was in the vice president debates, you know,
right?
In Austin?
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Any, do you, Jason, know of anybody else? I think that's all we got on our list.
No, there's been talk about other people. Like, I think McAfee said he'd take it.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Dude, I watched the McAfee show, and there's so much feces and everything else. I mean, the guy was into some gross stuff.
I'm not saying we should give it to him. I'm saying I believe he actually said that he'll take it if we give it to him.
No, yeah. please.
Make them a potential candidate.
If you're libertarian and you listen to this podcast, please watch the McAfee documentary. It's on Netflix. And you'll probably go, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, okay. I actually, you will go, maybe not. There's no doubt about it. Unless you're into that sort of thing too, right?
Exactly, hammocks. And, yeah. Anyway, all right. Let's talk about this. The Libertarian Party of Illinois is hiring an executive director. Email went out to everybody in the party here about 2 weeks ago. And basically, it's a fundraising job. Which we need. I mean, that was obvious with the last election with Cash, and we had some great candidates down the line. But, you know, the lack of money didn't give us traction in the election. So it's pretty awesome that we're being proactive on this. So they're trying to hire one individual who will go out and solicit donations for the Illinois party. And it looks awesome on paper because it's 50% in your pocket versus the other 50% going to the party.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on paper, that sounds great, right?
On paper, it's absolutely amazing. If you've ever been in a sales job, 50% commissions would be
unheard of, right?
Insane. Yeah. You know, like
crazy.
Wow,
Eddies.
Whoa, you know. I'm not for sure how that would look. I do agree with Derek. I think it's a really good thing because we didn't have it the last election cycle of getting a ton of donations or the capital to grow.
Well, I think that, but this is one of this is Bennett Morris's project, and I think he came in with the idea of doing this as a chair, and I give him kudos on it. We have to fundraise if we're going to do it.
Yeah.
I just hope that this isn't a position that was already selected, you know, under the, you know, oh, we're going to announce this, that we're doing this. I don't know if that's the case. I doubt it, actually. I don't think that's the case. But we need to get someone that is palatable. You know, we need – and I don't – if I look around the state of people that I really, really respect, I don't really know any of them that are unemployed, you know, that can take this job.
Yeah.
So that's really the question is who do you put there? And we can't have someone in that job that's not going to represent us well. You know, that's
well, and you know, we talked about Chad Grimm earlier. When we were talking about this show. I mean, how much money would Chad Grimm put in his pocket had he been fundraising for himself when he was running for governor?
Quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you need a salesman, but you're also going to have some credibility there because at least when Grimm was collecting that money, he was actually running for governor.
Yeah.
So now you're an independent person who's working for the party. And you're making a lot of promises.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a lot harder to hit those union halls and everything. And I think that's where you go.
Yeah.
Union halls and businesses, that's – forget individuals. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know the state is run by the parties, the unions, and the businesses. So wouldn't you start there?
Yeah.
Especially if you're getting paid half.
Absolutely. We need a go-getter that's not afraid to talk to anyone, you know, because all doors are open. And even to talk their language. They need to know that we're going to come in and, yeah, we're the spoiler. Give us money because we'll be the spoiler.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that because – joke's on them. If we put someone up and the scenario's right, maybe we do get traction.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and if you get that $200,000 donation.
Good for you, man.
All right.
How much did we spend on the whole election last year?
Like $25,000, I think.
So all you'd have to do is solicit $50,000 in total donations, and you'd still have as much as we had in an election year.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfect. It's. Yeah. I think it's a good move. And hopefully it's executed properly. I think that's. Go ahead, Jason.
I was on the Cash campaign, and I went to Chicago. I'm not going to name any names, but I had associates that have money. They're developers up there, and they're libertarian minded. And I made my pitch to try and get the Cash campaign a donation, and it had nothing to do with Cash, but. They basically looked at me and said, Jason, if you were running, I'd probably give it to you just to shut you up because you're my buddy. But I'm not going to donate to your party because you're never going to be able to do anything for me. And that's true of how politics works. I hope we find a fundraiser who can help fundraise for the state party. I believe if we use those funds toward local races, we would have a better time raising the funds. But I believe on statewide campaigns, we need to hand that rein off to someone who can self-fund and self-finance.
You're speaking my language, buddy. That's what Jacob and I and Eric have been saying since the get-go. And I remember when having a discussion with Bennett, you know, talking about, well, I'm talking about running local people. And my thing is, but we're not – the state party's not giving them any support. And so that's the problem, is we can run all the local candidates, but they need support, you know, and that's – we could focus that and win, man.
Yeah.
Look at what McCann did in some counties. He pulled 25%.
Oh, yeah.
Bubba Harsey, didn't he pull like 17% in his home county?
Absolutely.
Imagine if he ran for like state rep in his county with his name and his recognition, but actually had the money and the influence of our party behind him. And when I say the influence of our party, I mean like the Peoria chapter all jumping down in a van and going out to canvas for him on the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm talking about McLean coming out in big numbers. Look at what McLean tried to do. I mean, like, but we all did it with a shoestring budget.
Oh, yeah.
If we actually put our resources behind local races, we might actually get a state rep seat.
Well, and I would say this, that we can overcome our stigma locally, because if it's someone that you know that's in the community and it's a good candidate with good credentials, they'll overlook the pot party stigma that we have. They'll say, "Oh, that's our guy. That's Eric Stahl. He's the community guy.
He's a fiscal conservative, that's why he's with the Libertarian Party. And social liberal. He's not going to get in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at Peoria. Like, just in Peoria, I'm sure there's like Chad Grimm has contacts, but like I came fresh out of prison, and next thing you know, I have Republican contacts.
Yeah.
I'm friends with the people that's in the socialist community, and they even told me straight up that if I ran for something, they'd vote for me just because they like the redeeming story.
Yeah.
You know, like, we need somebody that has a local name, that has local connections, that can win their local races. And I think Bubba Harsey in his area might be it. You know, like, I don't see us being able to fundraise for the state party to run statewide campaigns again. I'm all about ballot access. I'm all about doing the statewide races. I'm not about funding the statewide races.
I think this is a good step in the right direction. I think, you know, depending on the individual they choose and what their intentions are, you know, maybe it's somebody who's retired and this is what they want to do, and they're going to, you know, and they're going to bust their butt, and they have the income to do it themselves. That's great. Maybe it's a go-getter who really thinks they can score some money and they have contacts. We will not know until they pick that person, right?
And I will let you guys know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you'll probably be first to know. Yeah. All right. Next subject. Dun, dun, dun. The government shutdown.
Oh, all 8% of it?
All 8%. The national parks are what they keep. I love how this always works.
It's all publicity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The
let's show
everywhere.
Pictures of trash, overflowing and the toilets not getting cleaned.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's 8% of the government workers aren't getting paid. And they probably will all get this money back, even though they didn't work for the last 3 weeks. Isn't that how it generally works?
It's how it works. I know that's how it works. Yeah. And it's not right.
It's a paid vacation.
Yeah. I mean, and so that if people do work during that time, like at TSA has been showing up, I guess they're calling it sick now, but if TSA works, they should get paid for the work that they did. But if you're at home, what are you getting paid for?
Exactly.
I mean, didn't do
it's
any
good
work.
Good holiday.
That's a great time
of
the year.
Holiday time. Thanks, Trump.
Quite frankly, I'd have taken a couple weeks off. But,
right.
Oh, well. But no, I think this is just it was a perfect storm, and I saw this coming. Being in my area where I work professionally, I saw that they had passed the DOD budget. They had passed, you know, all of the special interest, the high priority budget line items, and they had left just a little bit on the table. So the shutdown, it was completely strategic. They knew it wasn't going to affect the military, the veterans, some of the more crucial services. And so there's no risk in this, you know? I mean,
but the trash, Donnie,
the
trash.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
do you guys remember in 2013, I think we had something like a 17-day shutdown when Obama was president. They were arguing over Obamacare, and they came up with an agreement to pass a budget, but it kicked the can down the road because if they didn't come back and fix it, there was all kinds of drastic cuts that were going to come into play. Mm-hmm. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well,
They had a term for it.
They
My
always
whole point is they never reached an agreement, and those cuts happened, and nobody ever noticed them.
Yeah, they call that a continuing resolution, is what that is. So they'll get together, they'll kick the can around the road, say we'll fund it through this date, and then all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, that date's here again, and they're like,
I'm saying in 2013 they did a resolution like that, but then they created all these devastating cuts that would take effect if they didn't come to a full.
You're talking about the sequester. Is that what you're talking about?
The sequester. Yeah. Yes.
Sequestration
the sequester happened.
Yeah, and so here's the thing about that. So the sequester, for all you guys out there that don't know, they basically said that if they didn't come to agreement on a budget, that the budget would initiate a 10% cut across the board, equal. And so this was an awesome thing.
Sounds great.
I loved it. but you do that, and all of a sudden you get the military screaming, you get the Veterans Affairs screaming, you get all these different people screaming, and all of a sudden they're passing it and they're changing they got rid of the sequester. You know, so it's like they do these things that are great, and they say, well, we can't really do that. And then they don't do it anymore.
We threatened it, though.
Yeah.
It felt real.
It felt good when it happened.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Jason. Sequester.
Hey, what about so we got new congressmen swearing in, and Octavia Cortez shooting her mouth off already.
Ocasio Cortez, man,
yeah. I mean,
she's our socialist candidate, right?
Yeah, I mean, tell us.
I love her. I think she's awesome. Like, I absolutely love her. I want people who are going to say yes. I want 70% taxes on people.
Yeah,
because if they would be as open and transparent about what they're trying to do as she is, it would be the best thing the Libertarian Party ever had happen to.
Yeah,
like
because
people hear 70%.
Suddenly, taxation is really theft.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a second, that's crazy.
And it's so funny. I think she was on CNN, which is not a hard-hitting news organization for the left. And her ideas, I think, totaled like $40 trillion. And what she was going to raise to increase taxes was like $4 trillion.
Oh.
And they were like, well, how do you raise the rest? Yeah. And she's like, gotta go.
That was Jake Tapper.
Was it Jake Tapper? Yeah. I mean, it was a good interview because it shows that they don't really have a plan that's feasible, and they don't really give a shit about money. They literally think it grows on trees.
They do print it.
Yeah, they can. So
I guess paper
it does grow. It's like a tree.
Let's be real. Can print it.
Yeah.
Hyperinflation,
so
all that stuff.
Technically, money does grow on trees. It is a tree.
Yeah, it's cotton and paper. Yeah, it's a way to go, Donnie.
Yeah, I put two and two together.
Donnie got it all figured out.
All right, so getting back to the original point that Jason had earlier about Trump possibly being our most libertarian president, Trump says we're pulling out of Syria.
Love it.
Love it?
Yeah, I love it. And it's so crazy that now the best – and Jason, you and I talked about this offline – but the best thing I heard was someone said out loud, they were like, he needs to get congressional authority to pull out. And I remember thinking to myself, like, what?
Didn't get it to go in.
Bizarro world here?
Right.
He can't do that.
It's a classic case of if my party was in charge and did it, it'd be great. Mm-hmm. And my party's not, so it's bad. Mm-hmm. And Republicans are guilty of it too. And it's the exact thing that libertarians look at and say, why aren't people getting this? If it's a Republican doing it, it doesn't matter that it's Trump or whoever. Democrats will think it's horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And if Obama had done it, Republicans would have been, that's not acceptable. It's a game and it's a joke. And I'm glad that he announced that he was going to do it.
Yeah, let's do more. Let's get the hell out of there.
Let's get out.
Go ahead.
Does anybody really have a problem with the things he's been doing in the last month or two? I mean, like, part of the government shut down. He says he wants the dang wall. If anything keeps the budget lower, I'm happy for.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Syria. He did institute tax cuts. There's plenty of vile things about him, but it's a mixed bag. Like, I don't think he's any worse than any other president. I think he's probably moved us closer to libertarian-ish military practices than any president in my lifetime.
But when is Mexico paying for the wall? Right?
Tariffs.
And they talk about
that's been forgotten. Yeah.
They talk it's going to be through the aid. You know, they're going to cut the aid. It's a preposterous thought. We shouldn't be giving – there's no constitutional authority to take money from us and give it to other countries.
Yeah.
So these Republicans are all yelling, let's stop giving money to countries that hate us And I'm sitting here thinking, let's stop giving money to any
anybody,
country.
Yeah. It's world order, Donnie. It's world order. If we don't give them some money in, you know, boo-boo land, I mean, then somebody else will walk in there. And I mean, everybody's getting aid somewhere. And I think even modern European countries are getting aid from us.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Good for them, right? Must be nice, right?
You know, that's all I had for news, so I was going to go into some resolutions.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, as far as 2019 goes, we're talking about the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. Do we have any resolutions for this year? I mean, myself, we're working on Libertarian Party in Tazewell County. We're going to have a meeting next week. We're going to try and do more outreach in Tazewell County. Traditionally, our county's been pretty strong, you know, 4 and 5%. Mm-hmm. We didn't get the 5% this last election cycle, so Damon Dillon and I are going to start moving our meeting around to different places all around Tazewell County, see if we can drum up some business over here. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal for the year.
What about you, Jake?
I'm looking at Jake right now.
Man, guys, my goal is to make it through the year, right? Yeah. No, I think that as a Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria, we've done amazing things, and most of that is because of our chairman, Donnie, just, man, getting meetings together and the guests and stuff. But one thing that I would hope that we continue to work on and maybe even more bring more light to it, we talked about it the other day when we all kind of came during that Johnson Weld era. Mm-hmm. We're about to enter that kind of atmosphere again, and if we grow our meetings to sustaining members that constantly come to that 20 and 30 range, we would sustain that after a presidential election that everyone seems to struggle with. And I think that this is the year that we really ramp that up.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, I think that what's really been successful this past year is that we've had that constant double-digit attendance. And it was before we were trying to pull people in and we were like, is this thing going to catch? And I think we officially have got a baseline of people that are coming every meeting. And I just want to continue to grow that too.
We have some important figures that make a point to come to our meetings all of a sudden. They're not there to speak. They're there to be in the meeting. See the meeting. So we're on the right track. That's my resolution is to continue that.
My advice to all the other chapters too is we're not special. I mean, I like to think we're special, but we're not.
We have Donnie Henry.
Well, no, we've got you guys. It's not me. We got Eve Lashy putting up with me. Yeah. But I think if I could just suggest is make it a friendly place, an environment that people want to come to. When I talked to Ryan Spain, he said, "I'm so glad you guys have it at a bar." You know, and it's not like we're at some podunk bar. We're at a really nice restaurant pub. You know. And so people enjoy coming there. They can have dinner. They can drink a beer. They can talk. Everybody loves politics, or most people do.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Love it, yeah.
So our group does.
Yeah, our group likes it. And make it a warm, inviting. I'm so proud of that every time these politicians come, they leave and they've given me feedback, and you too, Jake, that it's just a welcoming environment. And they have fun at the meetings. And if you're not having fun at those meetings, man, you got to change something.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, to your credit – I was going to say, to your credit, the icebreakers you do at the beginning of every meeting, you generally show the differences of everybody in the room, and then you just glom everybody back together. Hey, we're all here for the same reason. Yeah. You know? So we're all like, it's all good. We all love each other.
I mean, we've gone – I'm not going to name any names, but we've gone to other events, and people who have been to our meeting have walked up and said, man, I wish I was at the Libertarian meeting right now and not this place. You know, it's that welcoming atmosphere that you realize that it doesn't matter Republican or Democrat, Libertarian. Like, it's that vision that I think we give off that somebody cares about the community. And when people come into our chapter meetings, they realize somebody cares about what's happening.
Go ahead, Jason.
One of the things that I liked about the Peoria chapter is how we got involved in the sheriff's race. Mm-hmm. And, you know, help the winner win, I guess you could say. But we had both candidates chopping at the bit to want to come and speak to our meetings. Mm-hmm. They wanted to come and, like, they literally wanted our endorsements and things that they could get off of us. And that builds networking with local politics that allow you to get bigger speakers, that allow more people to hear about the Libertarian message and understand that we are an actual party.
Yep.
You know, I wish more chapters would do similar-like things. And I'm not saying in races where we have candidates, but we all know when there's a Democrat and a Republican running, there's one worse than the other.
Yeah.
And if you can get both of them to cite libertarian topics and want to come and speak at your chapter, there, the people who like those candidates might realize, oh, wait a minute, I think I'm a libertarian.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think that's my resolution, is to continue building this networking. I think that, and this is just my opinion, I don't see a lot of potential working with the left. I really don't. I see that our networking are with people that are constitutional, fiscal conservatives on the right. And so my goal is to network as much as I can, find candidates, whether it's our candidate supporting that, or us supporting their candidate, or them supporting our candidate. Us trying to get someone elected is just going to move the ball of liberty forward. That's my end game, and that's what I want to continue to do in 2019.
Cool. Jason, what are you going to do in 2019? What do you got plans for?
Right now, I'm hunkering down at school. Let me tell you what, Stanford's no joke. I was working 60, 70 hours a week with full-time school in Illinois, and now I'm just full-time Stanford, and I'm every bit as busy. It's hard out here.
Well, so you're giving up on us?
I'm not giving up on it. I'm doing everything I can. I flew back. I was there for 2 weeks. I plan on I'm probably going to be at the state convention this year. I planned on flying back to be at the state convention.
Cool.
So that'll be nice. I am an Illinois libertarian, currently just out of state.
Yeah, if Josh Smith is listening, you can't have him, okay? Just for the record, he ran for LNC chair this year. He's trying to get Jason Spires to join California. He can't have him.
Is he really?
He's trying.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. Yeah, just keep the earplugs in, Jason. Yeah. Don't listen to him.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all I got for topics tonight. Did want to kick back and say libertyplays.com is our website, and we're always looking for articles. I actually had somebody spam the other day say, I got an article for Liberty Plays. I'm like, all right, this is great. And I looked at it. It was just a spam. It was just
somebody. Oh, no. Hey, we're getting popular enough to get spam,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, if you post this article, it was on online gambling or something, you know.
Post it.
We'll take the $5. Yeah. but no, we have it's an open invite. We'd love to. Anybody's got commentary about something going on in Peoria, something going on nationally, Illinois, we don't care. You know, obviously, we want the libertarian viewpoint. But we'd love to have your commentary of anything going on. Also, we're still selling tears.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I'm not even drinking from my, you know, my tears night. I gave my tears away. I need to go buy some more.
Okay, yeah, we can get them. Where can you get them?
LibertyPlays.com or the Facebook page. And these are awesome koozies. They say or Republican tears or Democrat tears. You will not find a better gift for your.
They both taste delicious.
Equally delicious. Yeah.
Your foil in parties, you'll definitely love giving those out. That's all I got.
Meeting on Thursday?
Yeah, that's... meeting on Thursday. We'll have this episode out before then. And then Tazewell County is going to be the following Tuesday.
Oh, let me put a plug out there.
Sure.
The Illinois Policy Institute is coming out with a promotional video to try and encourage Rauner to grant my pardon before it goes.
Good, good.
And so keep your eyes open for me sharing a video from the Illinois Policy Institute. I was fortunate enough that Sheriff Brian Asbell even spoke on the video and endorsed my pardon. And Sean Kenny, who owns Kenny's Westside Pub in Peoria, gave us the venue, helped to set up the cameras, and did everything. He even spoke in the video. So
yeah,
your eyes out for that or share it.
Yeah, and share it, right? Everybody needs to share it far and wide.
Very cool. Speaking of Asbell, and I'm not trying to run the show any longer than I have to, but Asbell took all of the admissions off of the social media. For the booking report,
did you guys
see that?
I did
this
see
last
that.
Week?
Yeah, that's probably something we should chat about real quick.
I think that it is definitely fodder for just fun and games at work. You know, that's all. It's just a shaming. You know, in a society where it's supposed to be, you know, innocent until proven guilty, you definitely are guilty until proven innocent on that report.
Even at this table, we've sent pictures of
we have
admissions to each other.
Well, and you two looked at each other. It wasn't me, I don't believe.
Well, you got it. Anyways. But.
Yeah, that's what it was for. And I get it that there is some business need to it. You know, my wife works for the Human Service Center, and they check that stuff because to know what happened to maybe one of their clients. But in the grand scheme of things, no, it was Facebook memes.
Well, and they can still get that information. You can file a Freedom of Information
And once somebody's convicted, it's all public record anyway.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
No, I give Asbell credit on that. I'm like, you know what? He is a better man for doing that.
Yep.
Completely. You know,
he said it's all about paperwork and there was blah, blah.
And mostly it was because the laws in Illinois It did change.
But I think I'm with you, Eric. I think he did it because it was the right thing to do.
It is the right
thing.
And
that's the kind of man he is. Yeah. You know,
he's putting people in work programs, and he's trying to make people better.
People have lost their job because of the report, and there's been mistakes.
Yeah.
And they've lost their job.
Yeah.
So who takes responsibility there? I think he made the right decision to pull it.
He's a bigger man. He's a great guy. So
did we not endorse that guy?
I think we endorsed that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Good guy.
All right. So I'm going to wrap this show up. Again, my name is Eric Stahl. Immediately to my left is
Jacob Irish.
I'm Donnie Henry.
And I'm Jason Spires.
Guys, where can they go for more information on our party?
LibertyPlays.com.
All right. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
That's it for this month's episode. Be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast catcher. For more information on this show or any other subjects we talked about, check out our Facebook page or LibertyPlays.com. We'll be back next month with more Liberty in podcast form. Remember, kids, taxation is theft.